This is America Weekend, a new kind of radio, because life doesn't stop on the weekends. Hello, I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. I recently read a fascinating piece in the Miami New Times, written by my next guest, Kyle Swenson. The piece is called How Modern Fortune Tellers Pull Off Their Scams. You might think when you walk by a storefront and see that broken down neon sign that says psychic, sometimes they don't even bother investing in a neon sign. Sometimes it's literally written in magic marker on cardboard and posted in a window, just that word psychic. You might think to yourself, oh, people are going in there and spending $5 to get their palm read, and what's the harm in that? Well, it turns out that there are lots of people who are harmed by that, not only emotionally, but financially. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars. It is almost like organized crime. So I've asked Kyle to join me here today and talk about his investigation. Hi, Kyle. Welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Is that a good analogy, organized crime?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the law enforcement officers that I talked to for this story made that same analogy and pointed out how intricate these networks of fortune tellers can be and their scams.
I've talked on this show about a woman by the name of Rose Marks, who is going to trial in August down there in Florida on a fraud case where she's alleged to have taken something like $25 million from her victim. Tell my audience a little bit about that story.
So the Marks family was kind of a prominent family of fortune tellers, and they operated outfits down here in South Florida and also in New York City in Manhattan. And I believe about 2 years ago, the federal government arrested Rose Marks, who was kind of the matriarch of the family, and I believe eight other members of her fortune-telling family, alleging that they had been involved in scamming clients to about $25 million, although at first they said it was about $40, which kind of shows you how hard it is to prosecute these cases because you know, it's very difficult to get a line on how much money people actually lost.
How often do prosecutors actually go after this? I mean, $25 million, $40 million, we're talking about a lot of money, but we have
That's a big swing.
Yeah, but you say in your article that this sort of thing is going on at all levels with all sorts of people for all amounts of money.
It is, yeah. And, you know, prosecutors don't go after these types of cases all that often, and I think the reason why, it's twofold. Number one is a lot of victims just don't come forward. As you can probably imagine, if you've just given, you know, your life savings away to a fortune teller, you might be embarrassed and not want to have to, you know, go into a police station and explain how you fell for this. And number two is that, and this kind of fleshes out with the Marks case, is the reason I believe that they originally reported that it was $40 million and then knocked it down to $25 was when they originally indicted the Marks family, you know, they included a bunch of her clients in the indictment. Later, though, they went back and interviewed those clients, and a few of them said that they were completely happy with their services with the Marks. And so basically they had to discount and take those names off the indictments because these people felt that they hadn't been scammed.
Wow.
So it just kind of shows the confusion that kind of can come up with these cases.
Who are the victims of these con artists? Do they tend to be older women?
Well, not always. The way I think about it is that they're people who are in kind of desperate situations in life. You know, usually they're kind of in a psychological corner. They've gone through the death of a parent, or they're at a crossroads between jobs, or they're just went through a really bad divorce. A lot of just people who kind of, you know, need a helping hand and are kind of psychologically vulnerable. They often do, many of the ones that I talked to, the victims, were kind of middle-aged women. But I also talked to, you know, a couple like young girls in their late teens who also fell in for this. So really, I think it's more of the psychological profile than anything.
And they're very good at spotting people who are emotionally vulnerable, who may have some money, and they know how to bleed them dry, don't they?
They do, yeah. It's kind of, you know, what's kind of amazed me about this is how how all fortune tellers kind of seem to follow the same pattern when they're kind of sinking the hook in a victim. They, you know, usually people walk in or get in contact over the phone, and then they do an initial reading where the fortune teller will kind of feel out who the person is and kind of see, you know, whether or not this is a person who is psychologically vulnerable enough to fall through this. And usually, you know, one of the ways that they'll do that is they'll make a, or they'll put through a potential victim through a bunch of kind of crazy errands to see if they have control over the person. One of the cases I wrote about, a woman walked into a fortune teller, and the guy said that, oh, you know, I detect a bad energy around you. You know, you need to go get me a flower, a white rose. So the woman got in her car, and she drove and got a white rose and came back. And then the minute she walked through the door, he said, okay, well, now I need you to drive to the ocean. I need you to fill this bottle of water with ocean water. So she immediately gets back in her car and drives back to the ocean, comes back, brings it in. So that kind of shows that, you know, he makes – made her go through these kind of this routine of hoops that she had to jump through in order to, you know, see that she was kind of a gullible person.
Yeah. You write about how there's actually a culture here, the Romani culture, which most of us would probably refer to as gypsy culture. They are the people at the heart of this organized crime ring that is fortune telling.
Very often, yeah, and I don't want to say that all, you know, all gypsies are fortune tellers are bad, but definitely here in South Florida and also in New York and really all over the country, the fortune telling kind of business is operated by gypsy families that kind of have passed down this art and this, I guess, kind of scam, because as we see with the Marx family, it's usually a family scam that they run through generations and things like that.
I will say that all fortune tellers are bad. They are taking advantage of ruined lives or helping themselves to ruin lives as they go forward, because they don't seem to have any morality to them. All they want is the money in the end, right?
Very true. Yeah. No, I just meant not all gypsies, but yeah, the fortune tellers, I mean, and it's terrible when you interview these people who have been victims of this, because really it not only ruins them financially, but, you know, this is such a close relationship that they had. You know, they were really spilling all of their fears, their hopes, their desires to these fortune tellers, you know, regularly. These are usually a relationship between a fortune teller and a victim. When it's kind of going full blast, they're talking multiple times a week, if not multiple times a day.
All right.
And really it becomes the most, the closest relationship these victims have in their lives for this period of time. So to have that torn away and shown it to be duplicitous is a lot of psychic damage to take.
Yeah. What role does the internet play in this? Because, you know, we talk about a storefront operation where somebody goes in and meets these psychics face to face. Are there con artists like this doing it online?
Oh, sure. I guarantee if you or any of your listeners just Google, you know, fortune teller or psychic reading online, I'm sure within the top 10, you know, responses you'll get on the Google search will be, someone in there will be a fraudulent fortune teller, if not all of them. They're really very savvy about the internet. You know, they set up these kind of websites that look kind of, you know, they're not the best designed websites, but they offer free readings, and that's how they hook a lot of people. And a lot of these scams now are being run long distance. One of the individuals I wrote about in my story was actually in England. She was outside of London, and she was in a bad spot. She Googled up a fortune teller. It turned out to be a woman here in Hollywood, Florida, and that woman bled her for $150,000.
Wow. Wow.
And they never met face-to-face. It was all just over email, internet, and phone call.
And in addition to getting them to give their money to get rid of a past curse or things, they're also selling them stuff, right? There are product lines like candles and crystals that these people end up buying.
Oh, yeah. Very much so, yeah. They, you know, they'll say, you know, you have this dark energy. We need to do this ritual. But, you know, I need to buy these crystals. I need to buy candles. I need to buy special urns. One of the women I wrote about, the psychic told her that she needed to buy tabernacles, 19 tabernacles, which I think were each, you know, a couple hundred dollars a piece, which, you know, obviously racked up to a lot of money.
Yep.
So, yeah, they talk about these rituals that they need to do with these items that cost money.
Yeah, it's pure evil as far as I'm concerned. It's a great article, Kyle. I'm going to put a link to it on our Facebook page. If you go to America Weekend on Facebook, you'll be able to read Kyle's piece, which was written for Miami New Times. It is a heck of a piece of investigation and quite a story as well. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you, Paul.
Kyle Swenson from Miami New Times here on America Weekend with Paul Harris. And thanks to you for listening on the Envision Radio Networks. America.